This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I appreciate all of you for joining us this weekend. Boy, oh boy, what a crazy week it was in the markets for a wide range of sectors as fear continues to grow in investors' minds, and that actually caused quite a bit of selling throughout the week. We're going to cover a lot of different sectors, especially U.S. markets, the bond market, and also the resource sector in terms of maybe some opportunities for investors. That's going to happen at the end of the show. I am kicking off this show with Axel Merck. He is the President and Chief Investment Officer over at Merck Investments. Now, Axel, it's been a little while since I had you back on the show, and hey, a lot has just happened this week. You and I are recording this late in the day on Thursday, so we don't know what's going to happen on Friday for these monthly closes, but already we're seeing U.S. equity markets down right around 10% just this week from where they closed on Friday. Axel, what's your takeaway from this volatile week and this pretty significant sell-off?
Well, great to be with you. First, I'm glad you're mentioning when we're recording this, because who knows how this market is going to close the month. And what do I make of it? Well, I'm trying to tell people what they don't already know. So let me state the one that nobody knows. It's month end. And the reason I say that is towards the end of the month, a lot of people want to square their books. And so when you have extreme positioning in the market, some people might unwind it. Also, there is some window dressing going on that people might want to show that, oh, I have taken action to protect portfolios and so forth. And so obviously people are aware that it's end of the month. But let's keep that in mind. The news media always loves to give an interpretation. Oh, the market is down because of this and that. Of course, fear in the market is driving a lot of this. But when there's fear in the market, the key thing that happens is people deleverage. And so when the positioning had been that a lot of people are long certain derivatives or do anything on leverage, then they unwind those positions. And that's part of the reason why sometimes odd things have happened in the market that you can't exactly match to the news of the day.
So, Axel, you mentioned some extreme positions. The argument could have been before we entered this week that there were extreme positions on the long side of these markets. There was a huge net short position for the specs when it comes to the VIX. Where do you think this week has ended now with obviously pullback in terms of that overly bullish mentality?
Well, a lot of those extreme speculators have reduced their positions, or they are quote-unquote gone. And that means now the market is allowed to do its thing, so to speak. And obviously we have month end, by the way. The other thing that happens is institutions, big pension funds, they tend to invest at the end of the month. And so you've got some spillover effects from that. There's no guarantee, obviously, that there's a recovery based on that. But all those things kind of cause certain changes and distortions. And the big question is, well, what's going to happen going forward? And since my crystal ball is in perfect shape, I can tell you exactly how this virus is going to unfold and how perception is going to be unfolding. I think what we, in case you're not noticing, I'm a bit cynical here, but what we'll need to look for is that people start getting comfortable that we'll be living with this virus. The odds are we can't eradicate it, at least not overnight. Maybe it goes away on its own, but that's certainly not the baseline scenario. So we have to learn how to live with that. And if you listened to the president, and he loves to be criticized by everybody, but he puts a positive spin on it, while at the same time he has a bunch of folks trying to work out things out, and you can be critical that he's not doing enough and whatever it is. But the reason why he is playing it down is because ultimately what matters to the economy and to his reelection is that the economy is in good shape, and the economy will stay in better shape if we have the perception that we are quote-unquote safe. Ultimately, there isn't so much we can do. I mean, we can have better hygiene, we can travel a bit less, but if panic is spreading, then that obviously can cause a lot more damage to the economy. Now, you might argue that health is more important than the economy or the re-election of a president, but it always depends on the eye of the beholder, right? I mean, we have this conversation here because we care about investments, and a politician has a conversation to get re-elected.
That is very true. And you know what? This whole election cycle is also going to, I think, cause a little bit of volatility for these markets as we get closer to that. But already this year, some pretty extreme volatility. Let's also get your comments on yields. Generally, they have just crashed in the U.S. We have the 10-year yield, as you and I are recording this, below 1.3%. The 30-year also reached a historic low just a couple days ago. This is the one major flight to safety that we have seen from investors. They've also used some other assets, which we will get to. But first and foremost, do you think that yields have, or at least are very close to, some sort of a bottom?
Well, again, I wish I had this crystal ball that would actually be working. One thing we pulled up as we're speaking is a long-term chart of the 30-year of the 30-year bond. And if you go back to kind of the peak in the late 80s, it's been coming down. And we are smack in the middle of the long-term trend line, a tad below, but we're not even one standard deviation below that. And so that's, if we put that into perspective, from that point of view, if you believe in the long-term decline in yields, there's nothing special here. It's not even worth mentioning it. And that's so incredible to me. Now, I happen to disagree that yields will go down forever and eventually go negative, but some other drivers will come in. But if you look at that picture, at least, things aren't all that extraordinary. Now, all that said, the yield on the 10-year, for example, is 129, and the earnings yield on the S&P is substantially higher. Now, granted, earnings may come down, but one of the things to keep in mind is 10-year notes, 30-year bonds are considered long-duration assets for obvious reasons, but so are equities. If you invest in the S&P 500, I'm not giving investment advice here, those are long-term equities, long-term securities, right? And so the question is, well, how will these securities be doing in the long term? And even if they have an earnings hit this year because of that, well, is the world coming to an end, or will we recover somehow, somewhat from that next year or 18 months from now or whoever it may be? And so because of the very low yields, at some point some people will try to gobble up the equities again. That doesn't mean they're cheap or expensive right now. I'm just saying that there's a major incentive right now to move from the bond market back into the equity market.
Now let's talk about some of these so-called safe assets, like the precious metals. Gold has done very well. Look back a year ago, gold was about $400 cheaper. So this has been a very nice move. Unfortunately, the stocks in a broad sense have not really kept pace. Neither has silver, but I think that just goes to show this bit of a fear trade that has been in the markets. What's your assessment of where the precious metals are standing?
Well, on the physical side, obviously, they reflect the environment we're in. It's been the price of gold has been quite highly correlated with real interest rates. So, and that's if you take the 10-year bond and then take out inflation, very high correlation. And the reason is pretty obvious. Gold doesn't pay a dividend; it's a brick. And so when you don't get compensated for holding cash, and by the way, in the major economies, including the U.S. now as of recently, we have negative real interest rates. And so in that sense, the price of gold is doing well in that sort of environment. On top of that, until a few weeks ago, I would have argued that investors want to have their cake and eat it. And we talk about safe assets. So usually when you're afraid of something, well, you should move to cash, right? Because cash is, I mean, at least in the short term, that's something where you're not going to lose money. I mean, purchasing power in the medium term. But because investors have made money in the stock market for so many years and are afraid of paying taxes, instead of moving to cash, they try to spice it up by getting into gold, which is, of course, relative to the dollar, quite volatile, or even gold mining, which is notoriously volatile.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there. It's great having you on the show, Axel. I appreciate all of the emails you send out and all of your time that you spend with us. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. Thanks again for your time.
My pleasure.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe.
If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full-body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
I'm here with Scott Jusseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am happy to report in this segment that I am chatting with a lot of our listeners, at least one of their favorite guests. That is Trader Vic Sparandio. Now, Trader Vic, it was a crazy week, a historic week, really, dating the whole way back to about 2008 in terms of market pullbacks and a broad sell-off that had hit pretty much everything except for bonds, which yields just continued to crash, but we even saw gold get hit hard. U.S. equity markets dropped like 2-3% every day this week. Trader Vic, where does this leave us? What are your thoughts on this craziness in these markets?
Okay, a little bit of context. I don't remember when I said this, but it was probably a year ago or maybe 6 months ago, that the market wouldn't top, it would just end. I use that expression. I write occasionally I write a market letter under this label of the curmudgeon with the man who writes the curmudgeon invites me as a guest, as you do, Corey. In any respect, that's what happened here. And very rare, and, you know, I've gone through the markets back to the 1896, that's quite a while ago, and evaluated many different trading signals and strategies that basically took place. And this one is unique in this respect. 7 days ago, you had the NASDAQ 100 and the S&P 500 close at an all-time high. You have the breadth figures, which is usually what tops first. The breadth diverges, and those are the signs of the top. And I've always kind of thought of myself as catching the tops of things, being an expertise in mine. And in this case, the breadth actually made its all-time high 6 days ago. So you actually had the breadth figures make its high after the S&P and the NASDAQ 100. Now, the Dow had made its high a little earlier than that, about 2-3 days. But basically, the Dow is 30 stocks. It's a false, let's say, leading indicator. It doesn't have meaning because it's so few stocks. But the bottom, it has a historical meaning. It just doesn't have a trading meaning to me. I watch the other things I just talked about. So very uniquely did, and then just crashed. You know, if you want to call it a mini crash. The bottom line is there was no real news that accompanied this. The first patient that died of this coronavirus was in January, then a few more in January, and then it started to accelerate. And it isn't the deaths, by the way. It's the slowdown in business that's killing the markets. Because this is not a killer. This is a very contagious disease, you know, virus. It maybe kills 1-2% of the people who get it. That's been the numbers that have come out all over the world. The virus also, it doesn't live where it's hot. For example, if you looked at a map like South America and Africa, you notice there are virtually no cases, except people who may go to like one person in Brazil, but in Africa also. The key of where it is very contagious is in cold weather. And believe it or not, Iran is cold this time of year, so is China. Now, that's going to end in April. April, it gets warmer in China. Anything over 70 degrees, this virus will disappear. It'll still be around, but it's not going to be contagious because it dies in the air. So, in my view, the markets will recover to a degree when that happens, but it has to come first from the Fed because we're still in cold weather environments where this is still going to be contagious and most people are not traveling, they don't drive, they don't go shopping, they stay in. I mean, I hear and I know a Chinese person, you know, that I communicate with. I mean, the streets are empty. I mean, there's nothing going on. So naturally, economic conditions are going to be a major player of why the markets did what they did. But it came out of nowhere, and I want to stress that. I mean, when Apple lowered its guidance, the markets yawned. This was about 3 weeks ago. Nobody cared. And then all of a sudden, bang, everybody realized, okay, it's time to sell. So Where are we now? Well, today was a day that I went long at the opening, and I actually just sold them a little while ago, and it was supposed to be a switch day, meaning you at the end of the month you rebalance. So you have stocks at the lows, bonds at the highs. People felt the institutions who rebalanced their portfolios, they got out of whack, so they're supposed to sell bonds, buy stocks. That was my play. And then yesterday, and this is now getting into important information for your listeners, Kevin Warsh, W-A-R-S-H, who used to be on the Fed, he's a very, very high-end thinker and had written a year in December of 18 with Stanley Druckenmiller a editorial in the Wall Street Journal telling Powell he shouldn't raise rates. So now he's up for this job. Trump didn't nominate him stupidly because Warsh is 10 times Powell mentally. But now yesterday he writes an editorial in the Wall Street Journal. The Fed should lower rates a quarter immediately, and all central banks around the world, I'm paraphrasing, should also be doing whatever they can do to stimulate the markets, because he sees this as a major hit economically, which it is. So I believe that if the Fed, you know, would lower rates sooner rather than later, you've got the 30-year yield. This is very rare as well. The 30-year yield is 16 basis points above Fed funds. Now that's I mean, I know that's happened before in the 70s, where T-bills have yielded more than, or Fed funds have yielded more than 30 years, so they traded at a 30-year traded at a discount. But not since 82 has it ever been this close. I mean, this is as close as it gets. So the Fed really wouldn't be cutting rates. The market's already cut rates. The Fed would just be following the market. And they didn't want to do it. And today, and the reason the market isn't up today, which I thought it would be, was Kaplan from Texas and the St. Louis Fed Bullard, they both said they're not going to cut rates. I mean, see, now that has to make everybody suspicious and has a meaning, and I'm almost done with where I'm going. Why say that in the midst of a crash down 7 days in a row? Why do you say that? You don't like Trump.
All right, Trader Vic, unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment on the radio. Everybody listening on the radio, come to our website, kereport.com. That's where you can hear the full interview with Trader Vic Sparandio and I. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
We have Oregon's first case of the COVID-19 coronavirus.
That's Oregon Governor Kate Brown. Health officials there in California and in Washington State are worrying about the coronavirus after states are now reporting presumptive cases of three people who've been infected by unknown means. The patients, including a high school student in Washington and an elementary school worker in Oregon, had no known close contact with a traveler or infected person. There are two similar cases in California. A 65-year-old woman who lives in Santa Clara County, just south of San Francisco. Dr. Sarah Cody is the director of the Santa Clara County Health Department.
The individual is an adult woman with chronic health conditions who is hospitalized for difficulty breathing.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Hey guys, it's Sue Cosner, your favorite sexual health expert, with another version of Ask the Pro. This month, I got a letter from Sandy in Seattle about an explosive bedroom secret she and her husband recently discovered. She writes, "Dear Sue, my husband and I used to have a great life in the bedroom, but in the last few years, he has struggled. He's tried about everything, but nothing has worked. Then one day he came home and gave me a night I will never forget. He told me about this secret formula, Noxetril, that changed our life in the bedroom once and for all. Wow, Sandy, you beat me to it. I recommend Noxetril to every guy that struggles in the bedroom. It's the only one. Noxetril is all natural and works to increase blood flow fast. It's like that little blue pill on steroids. Noxetril has a special free bottle offer shipped discreetly to your door.
To find out how to get your bottle of Noxetril, call 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954. Get your free bottle for a limited time. Call now. 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are switching our focus a bit more into the resource sector in these final two segments with a good friend of the show, Matt Geiger. He is the managing partner at MJG Capital. Now, Matt, we have a couple of topics that we were going to get into, but first and foremost, let's address this pretty significant drop in precious metals and the precious metals stocks to end the week, and I think even more importantly, end the month of February. Gold, silver, they were doing pretty well as the safe haven trade was continuing that had started about 5-6 months ago and was even continuing throughout this month. At one point, gold was up around $500 from just a year ago, but boy, oh boy, did things change. Change at the tail end of the week. A big sell-off. Stocks got hit pretty much across the board. Gold and silver got hit across the board. And what is your takeaway from these moves?
Well, first off, thanks for having me back on the program, Corey. Yeah, there's no doubt that it's been an extraordinarily painful week here over the past 4 to 5 trading days. We ended 2019 with a flourish. And had a very strong year. Was looking forward to similar gains, at least on the precious metal side of things in 2020. This coronavirus is obviously thrown a curveball. I wouldn't consider it a true black swan event. I would define a black swan event as something that truly nobody could have even possibly be seen coming. We have had virus flare-ups before, Ebola most recently, but it's definitely not something that was on anybody's radar, you know, even 6 to 8 weeks ago. You know, our portfolio hasn't been immune to the selling. There's no question about that. As I mentioned in our January 2020 investor letter, we're almost fully deployed at the moment. We do have new capital coming in, so we're maybe at 5 to 10% cash levels. But we've taken the selling, you know, right on the chin. You know, as you mentioned, over the past couple of days in particular, gold and silver are selling off along with basically all other asset classes, and that to me indicates pure panic. Usually you would see gold rising in situations like this, but when it reaches pure panic levels, people are either hoarding cash or selling gold simply because it has a bid in order to cover margin calls or obligations elsewhere in their portfolio. You know, in terms of the spread of coronavirus, I don't have a particularly unique insight into that. I think it's obvious, though, to anybody watching that the market concerns have shifted from kind of the depth of the situation within China, more so to the breadth of the situation around the world and the spread of the virus. Things in China are actually looking somewhat better here. The quarantine was effective in stopping large-scale spreading within the country. At least that seems to be the case so far. Workers are returning to factories and to their jobs after their extended lunar holiday. And just yesterday, I think Starbucks announced it was opening up 75% or potentially 80% of its stores in China. So within kind of the epicenter, things seem to be starting to return to normal. However, it's obviously much less rosy in terms of stopping the spread to other countries around the world. And I think right now markets are trying to price in the economic effect of this anticipated spread as other countries do quarantines, shutdowns, and how that's going to affect the global economy. And of course, one other variable to look at then would be central bank response to this crisis. Starting with the United States. Just in the past 4 or 5 trading days, the market anticipation of future rate cuts have spiked. And so now the market's pricing in 3 rate cuts this year by the Federal Reserve. We already, of course, have that repo program in full force that will continue. And who knows, maybe we'll see the resumption of traditional QE as well. So there's a lot of variables that are contributing to this. But ultimately, just taking a step back, we do have a 10-year lockup on our fund. We try to take a long-term view here. And even if I price in the absolute worst-case scenario, and this may sound callous, but this is just a hypothetical exercise here, if everybody were to catch coronavirus tomorrow and the world's population were to decline by 2%, obviously there'd be significant short-term effects. However, it doesn't change my long-term conviction in hard assets in the natural resource space over the next 5 to 10 years, simply due to its relative mispricing to all other asset classes at the moment, and the fact that the space at large has not participated in the 12 years of unabated asset class gains that we've seen since 2008.
Exactly. Yeah, the metals, hard assets were lagging for over a decade there. They just started to play catch up, and then you get one of these instances where fear takes hold, and quite frankly, nothing is immune when you do have this strong of a fear trade, and that goes, unfortunately, in the face of a lot of the gold bugs that were saying, oh no, gold will be able to weather a major sell-off. That's just not the case. You mentioned, though, that your portfolio's we're pretty much fully invested. As you are watching some of what you think are the higher quality stocks, I have a list of stocks that I also think are great stocks that are taking a sell-off here. How do you trade around this then? If you have any cash on the sidelines, or quite frankly, if you want to free up any cash, is it waiting for some sort of a rebound, or are you out there still just kind of buying these dips, even if they are major dips?
Good question. I think I would address it in two different ways. First is the characteristics to look for in terms of potential investments. If you have some cash on the side that's ready to deploy, you know, what are the securities that you select? And there's a few things I'd look for, you know, specifically if you're looking at the junior resource space. The first is a multi-year runway before the company has to raise capital next. And this can be easily found by taking the company's total working capital position and dividing it by its all-in monthly burn. And that will give you a figure of how many months the company could theoretically go without having to come back to market. I think particularly in this market, this in the midst of the sell-off. You want companies that have a year, 2 years, 3 years of working capital. There aren't too many juniors that qualify, but they are out there, and I think those are the ones that should be focused on. The reason for this is that there's certainly going to be a financing overhang in this market, especially when investors are particularly skeptical and scared. And so they just simply won't be buying common shares of companies that they know have to return to the market in the next 3, 6, or 9 months. A second thing I would look at is a metric, very simple one, where you just compare the company's market capitalization to its net working capital position. And the higher the ratio, the higher the working capital relative to the market cap, the better. You know, as one example, there's a high quality junior royalty company out there with no debt and a cash and marketable security portfolio that covers over half of its market cap. And for some perspective, you know, your average junior maybe has cash or working cap coverage of 5 or 10% of their market cap. So that really stands out. This is important because while companies sometimes do trade below their net working capital position, generally they don't. And that's a good floor, at least a theoretical floor to look at and say, if shit really hits the fan here, you know, what is maximum downside? And so again, the higher the ratio, the better there. Especially if you're buying into a sea of red like this. You know, also it goes without saying, especially for the junior space, no debt on the balance sheet. I think that's pretty obvious there.
All right, Matt, we need to take a break for the radio stations. We will get a little bit more into your strategy when you're heading to PDAC this weekend. No, it's been a bad week across the board, but I still believe that does offer some opportunities for, hey, some of the better companies that are getting sold pretty much indiscriminately. Everybody stick around. Matt Geiger and I are going to be right back.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Message and data rates may apply.
Help! Seriously, I'm too young for hair loss.
My hairline keeps creeping back. Receding?
I got this bald spot. It's thinning everywhere. I'm gonna have to give up and shave it.
Dude.
put down the razor, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is about to give you your real hair back permanently. Don't ignore the signs of hair loss. Bosley is giving away an absolutely free information kit that reveals all the signs and a free gift card to anyone who texts KIT 88 to 85850. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Using the latest technology, Bosley's solution to hair loss is permanent and protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Plus, since Bosley has new non-surgical options, you owe it to yourself to text now for an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off, no matter what level of hair loss you have. Text KIT 88 to 85850. KIT 88 to 85850.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Welcome back. Continuing to chat with Matt Geiger here, wrapping up the first hour. Now, Matt, let's discuss the conference this weekend that you are attending, PDAC. It is one of the largest, if not the largest, resource-focused investment conference in the world. As a fund manager, a resource-focused fund manager, what are some of your goals? What are some of your strategies when you are at a conference that is as big as PDAC?
It's going to be busy. PDAC in particular, forgive me for describing it as a zoo, but it is very busy, constantly being pulled in multiple directions. It seems like the whole industry is there. And maybe attendance will be somewhat lighter this year due to coronavirus fears and what's going on. That remains to be seen. In terms of objectives, I'd say there are a few. Probably the most important one is to deepen connections with friends and industry contacts that I do have at the conference. And there's no better way to do that than face to face. You know, I especially like to become friendly with and, you know, build into my network people that have skill sets that complement mine. Especially those with geological or mining engineering expertise. And so I think this at the end of the day is an information industry. That is your only edge as an investor. So the more high quality people you know, that you can ask for ideas, you can pick their brains, you can ask for reference checks, what have you, the better position you'll be in as an investor. I'd also say in terms of industry contacts, PDAC is unique in that there are also a lot of mining ministers and government officials from around the world at this conference. That's unique, largely to PDAC, at least in the North American conference circuit. So it's a good opportunity to, you know, pick the brains of ministers, you know, whether they're from Ecuador or from the Balkan region, and get a feel on mining investment in certain jurisdictions that you may have exposure to. The second objective, and this is also a very, very important one, is to catch up with current holdings. And so for me, it's a constant process of monitoring our holdings. Some of them, especially the royalty names with management teams that I really trust, those are more buy and hold. I'm less likely to, you know, make a decision to sell on the basis of one news release. But for some of our riskier investments, you need to track the stories extremely closely and have your finger on the pulse of the story. And so, you know, at PDAC, I'll be able to sit down with a dozen, potentially 13 of our holdings. So that's half of our portfolio right there. And that's a great opportunity for me to catch up with management, get a feel on whether the expected milestones are still to come, at least the ones that I was anticipating in 2020 and 2021, and if not, get an understanding of why and if there's something to be concerned about. Also, you know, get opportunity to get a sense of the company's working capital position, you know, a sense of when they might have to come back to finance next, and really just dig in deep with the story face to face with management. A third objective here would be to continue due diligence on names that I'm working on. Oftentimes, I'll be following a name for months, if not years, before initiating a position. And one of the things that I'll often do before I complete the due diligence process is to meet with management team face-to-face. I think that's it's incredibly important. So at these gatherings, it's an opportunity to sit down with a CEO that maybe you've talked on the phone with a few times, you've done some work, you've gotten good reference checks, but you wanna see him face-to-face and ask some follow-up questions. This is a great opportunity. And then the fourth objective, and I'd say this falls into a very distant fourth, is to source new ideas. That said, I would say conferences aren't the best spot to do that. There's lots of distractions, as you know. And for me, I'm more likely to make an investment if sourced through my own network. If somebody that I trust comes to me and says, take a look at this opportunity, those have a higher percentage of ultimately making it in the portfolio. I'm always on the lookout for new ideas, and will be at PDAC as well. But that's kind of my lowest priority of the four.
All right. Very interesting. You mentioned one thing there that I want you to elaborate on, and that is milestones. Checking up on companies to make sure that the milestones are still intact, that they are still maybe on schedule. But what are some of these milestones that you pay closest attention to? There's this whole balance of drill results. Yes, those can definitely drive stocks, but those are very hard to predict. Then you have something like a resource estimate. From there, a PEA. Then even a PFS, then into a full feasibility study. Where do you put the most weight on? What do you like to have on the forefront for companies?
It's a good question. I mean, I think it's all relevant, and you should extract as much information from the company as possible to understand what to expect in the coming months and years. For instance, you mentioned some of the most important catalysts. Of course, drill results, especially of a potential new target, can provide an explosive catalyst for a story. After a discovery, you know, a large step out hole could also provide an explosive catalyst. An initial resource could as well. A PEA, an operating permit or mining permit at a project where the market viewed that it was difficult to get. So those are, of course, catalysts that can actually drive the share price. But I think it's worth following everything, including potential drill permits and the timing on those, in terms of environmental permits and submission of those. Even if those aren't market-moving milestones, it can give you a sense of whether the company is on track or whether maybe there's something simmering under the scene that is worrisome. Maybe there's environmental opposition and it hasn't become material yet, at least from the company's standpoint. But if you have your pulse on the story, you can get a sense of whether things are progressing to speed or not. So I try to look at all of the above. Some other unique things to try to get out of management is whether there's any lockup period or escrow period for management shares. That's another thing that you should always ask as an investor, and you can put into your milestone timeline. So for me, for each and every one of our investments in the portfolio, we do have a timeline of just expected milestones, some market moving and significant, some not, stretching out into the future. The more the merrier. And I just track those as we go along. If the company continues to check the boxes and the share price, you know, doesn't go too crazy, then I'm happy to hold. But if I start seeing delays or I start seeing shifts in plans or, you know, simply one of the expected milestones doesn't pan out, then that's an opportunity to take a second look at the story. Maybe there's a good reason for it. Maybe there's not, in which case liquidate and go on.
All right, Matt, to wrap us up, are there any stocks that you are keeping a close eye on that you're looking forward to meeting with at PDAC or that you think have some potential catalysts this year that should be on one's radar?
Sure. Well, I mean, one I'm particularly excited about, it's actually our most recently initiated open market position, but it's Myles Thompson's Lara resources based down in Brazil primarily and Peru as well. And I actually wrote about this company. There's a good 10-12 page write-up in the fund's most recent investor letter, which is available on our website, mjgcapital.com. That's an example of a story that I think checks the boxes. It's a prospect generator. It's exploration stage that obviously, especially in this market with the fear we see, you know, it takes some grit to put money to work in the prospect generation space. That said, the company has a healthy working capital position. No plans to raise this year. They have a royalty that will start cash flowing at a small but high grade copper project called Celesta in Brazil. And they'll start receiving royalty checks mid this year. And so between the working capital position and this royalty income, here's an example of a company that if we expect the worst, and this is a prolonged, you know, 12 to 18 month slog here, company can go along with this business without having to come back to market and diluting shareholders for further. So that's a massive part of the company's story. And then additionally, they have two major partners drilling projects this year. The first is Capstone at the company's Plan Alto copper project, where Capstone's earning in a 75% interest. Drill results should be pretty imminent. And then Hochschild in Peru at a project called Carina, which was acquired by Lara in the depths of the 2011 through 2016 bear market. So that was an opportunistic acquisition of them. Hochschild is permitting right now up to 30 drill pads at the property with the expectation that they'll be drilling there by year end.
All right, Matt, we're going to wrap it up there. I greatly appreciate you spending time with us on this weekend show before you head over to PDAC. I hope you have a great conference. I look forward to following up with you as this year progresses and following along with your fun. Thank you for your time this weekend, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Please keep in touch by emailing me, fleck@kereport.com. And go back through the daily editorials this week. There was a lot of good information on pretty historic week for a wide range of markets and sectors. Matt, thanks for your time.
Thanks again, Corey. Talk soon.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.